Podmates, this is Ori. Welcome to episode 7 of OrcaPod, a deep dive into DeFi from the builder's perspective. I'm one of the co-founders of Orca, the most user-friendly DEX on Solana. In this episode, I'm delighted to welcome Corey, the artist behind Orcanauts, Orca's upcoming NFT project. For those of you closely following Orcanauts, you've already had the chance to learn a bit about Corey in the interview on the Orca blog. But today, I'm decided to dive in deeper and chat about her creative process, NFTs, and all things Orcanauts. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Could you introduce a little bit about yourself and your background as an artist and designer?
Sure. So I'm a freelance designer and illustrator hailing from New Jersey, but I'm currently exploring the West Coast life. Previously, I've worked at a few tech startups wearing different design hats, from marketing to product design and illustration. So, you know, that startup life, which I'm sure you know a lot about. I know Orca is a small team too. Aside from art and design, I love to read, mostly sci-fi and other fiction. I enjoy playing games and dabbling with different crafts and exploring different media.
And occasionally creating fictional worlds.
Yeah. Yes, that is definitely something I'm interested in, which turns out to be pretty applicable to various projects and industries.
Yeah, I think especially with the discussion of metaverse these days, like the line between fictional and non-fictional is actually starting to blur in a way that I think is actually really delightful.
Yeah, I definitely agree. In my experience as a designer and artist, we talk a lot about narrative and storytelling, which I think is really important. One component of that is helping your audience or whoever you're speaking to really enter into the context of your story. And I think that's part of what the world building is about. And with new technology, that's really part of it as well. Like, how do we help people imagine themselves using this technology and living in a world where this technology really has a positive impact on their life?
Yeah, I love that. I was actually just meeting with the charity that we're planning to donate to from the Orcanauts project and talking to them a little bit about crypto and how we kind of at Orca hope to welcome a wider audience into crypto. And I think storytelling really is the right word to use here, because it's not just like, okay, what's the technology on a blockchain? Mm-hmm. It's really about what you can do with it and how that impacts human lives, where I think things start to get really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited about the charity that we ended up deciding on for this project.
Yeah, I figure while we're teasing this a little bit, we're still not going to reveal the exact charity yet, since we're still finalizing a few details, but we are planning to make a donation to a charity that focuses on financial literacy education, which we just feel is really appropriate and meaningful, given that we're paving new ground when it comes to how people interact with their finances. In everything DeFi, but especially in Orca, where we do welcome a lot more folks who this is their first time interacting with crypto. And so we hope to create a gentle on-ramp that allows people to learn at their own pace.
Yeah, I think in my personal experience, it's incredible. Like, I just think that even as I was getting introduced to the world of crypto and NFTs, it was a little bit intimidating because I didn't know exactly where to get started. I searched literally for some getting started guides for some of the practical aspects, like setting up a wallet or just trying to figure out what the risks and rewards are, how to, you know, safely use things. And I've been really lucky to have people to talk to ask questions and to help guide me along. But a piece of that is that it's not just a new technology, but it is a new financial system that if for some people could be very new, especially if maybe they aren't as financially literate in general. And I think that there's really an opportunity to help people learn more about this.
Yeah, charity donations, I think, are an interesting way of approaching it, where you can be a lot more direct in terms of even creating a curriculum. But even for Orca and Orcanauts, I think a lot of it is creating the right rails. As a designer, I think we both think about how do you actually like build in intuitive understanding of how to use something into the UI so that it doesn't require a lot of outside explanation. And that's something that, you know, we're always struggling to balance at Orca. But I'm curious how you feel about it in terms of like learning, just starting to learn about crypto and NFTs and what the hardest parts were.
I would say the hardest part was knowing which resources to trust and also having a comprehensive introduction. For me, there was a lot of looking through getting started guides and then separately following up with, you know, whether my own like research, just spending time researching and reading, or asking friends to help me out and understand different concepts. I think that it's an interesting intersection of technology and art and finance. Like the technology and art part, I think we've encountered a few times before, and I'm sure they're, especially like digital artists, are used to picking up new tools. But there is this additional piece of the crypto and NFT space where there's finance involved. Like, how do you get paid? Or like, if you are going to be exchanging money on the platform, like, how does that work? What do you have to think about? And I think there are a lot of encouraging voices and there's a lot of excitement. It's mostly getting some more specific guidance for artists. Like, what do they need to do? Like, why do they need to care about this? And for that, I think that I was very lucky in, like I mentioned, being able to ask people directly. But for other artists, I hope that we can have more resources or more voices moving forward where they can trust, like, oh, this is an artist that I follow and here's their experience getting into the space.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Something that we are actually working on internally at Orca is a article series that we call Orca for Everyone, which guides folks to use their like DeFi products for the first time using Solana and Orca, since it's something that can be done with such low fees and in a relatively low risk way. But I love the idea of having more practical guides for how these tools can be used to actually help someone, for example, process payment and do so in a way that they can still easily report taxes and do all those things that are a little bit less glamorous, but necessary when you're actually starting to make a living on the blockchain.
That sounds awesome. The article series that you mentioned sounds really great. And yeah, that seems to dovetail nicely with Orca's focus on making the user experience overall easier and clearer. I think a lot of people would find that useful. I would have for sure. I mean, I've read through the Solana Getting Started Guide. I think Orca has, I know that there's a blog post that introduces people to the platform, and that was really helpful too.
Yeah, we have some amount of docs, but there's always more that can be done. And, you know, the space is always constantly growing as well. So the scope of what would need to be covered, I think, in a Getting Started Guide, sometimes it feels like, I don't know, the myth of Sisyphus or something, where it's like you roll, you're rolling, but then somehow it's just like you can never keep up.
Yeah.
but that's, I think, also what's really exciting, yeah, about it. And so I think that's actually a good segue into talking about Orcanauts, which is, of course, the reason we've brought you on today. And I thought maybe we could start by just talking about your first impressions when we came to you with the idea of doing Orcanauts as a project.
Yeah, absolutely. I was immediately curious because I'd heard a lot about NFTs and the crypto space. And several people I admire, and artists, designers, developers, had all been talking about it, yourself included. And this was really just an excuse to learn more about the space. And I specifically was looking forward to working with you because I know you have an appreciation for design and aesthetics. And I think hearing that just gave me a lot of confidence that this project would be something interesting to work on, not only because of the technology side, but also because it was an opportunity to focus on the art and think about what that might be like. I was also just excited because I started listening to a few, you know, podcasts or like reading up when you first mentioned this project. And I was like, this space is so nascent and has a lot of ambiguity, but that also means some opportunity in trying to figure out what NFTs can be used for. You know, I think there are some use cases or some stories about NFTs that can be a little bit confusing. Like it's people are putting artwork out, but are they just creating art and putting it here to sell? Or is there something else tied to the artwork? People like Gary Vaynerchuk have been active in the NFT space, but his NFTs are not just the artwork. there's other things tied to it. And I've also started to notice like the different NFT projects that are also about building community or helping to pull together people to work on projects beyond simply like the artwork itself. And I think that sort of potential is really interesting.
I really appreciate hearing that point of view because you know, I'm constantly surrounded by people who think about pretty much nothing but crypto day and night. And I sometimes worry that I go a little too far in that direction and can get a little bit disconnected. But hearing that excitement from people who weren't previously steeped into the space, I think is really encouraging, especially because I see NFTs and especially their interaction with art as an opportunity for what art means to really evolve and for it to become more valued, I think, by society as a whole. Because NFTs can represent artwork in a more traditional sense, but then can also have any number of use cases layered on top, I think we're starting to see ourselves on the edge of a society that starts to have a wider definition for what art is and potentially for it to become a much more interactive experience that actually spans different types of media, longer periods of time. And that, I think, is what is really so it's exciting about NFTs versus just like the speculation that's happening now, which is fun and interesting in its own way, but doesn't quite live up to the potential of the future, I think.
Yeah, you are touching on a point I've been thinking about in particular too, which is this initial impression about all the hype and these big projects, like you mentioned, that are just kind of a little bit dramatic. Like you hear people creating NFTs that help them make, you know, big money to completely change, you know, their life. But that's not going to be every project. That's not going to be every artist trying to get into the space. And I'm more interested to see the way people's sensibilities around digital art changes. Like I recently was reading something about why motion designers should care about NFTs, and just that's the simple idea that pieces of artwork that are centered around motion design haven't really had the opportunity to be framed as art. Like they're typically used as a tool to support other things, you know, put on a website or used in a marketing campaign or, you know, part of a TV commercial, like rather than standing on its own and simply being appreciated for how amazing or interesting, beautiful, whatever, you know, it is about this piece that is being told. Hasn't really had the chance to do that. And so I've heard some people in the NFT space simply collecting art because it's, you know, they like the artwork and allowing these different media to have the opportunity to be seen in this way, I think is a very cool evolution. And I'm curious to see, you know, how else that might influence the way we think about artwork.
It's a cultural shift, isn't it? Just the world of art collectors is something that sounds so high society and really not that approachable for the average person, right? But now anyone can go and purchase either an NFT representing a piece of artwork or even a fraction of an NFT representing a piece of art. And that is what allows a much wider range of artists to get involved too, right? And potentially move something towards like a more sustainable income where they don't need to just like spend, you know, years laboring on a piece and then sell it and then hope for income. Maybe there's even a way that they can continually make income over time. And so I'm curious if that's something that you've thought about and in your mind, what an ideal version of that might look like.
Yeah, well, one of the benefits of the crypto world is the ease of payments and this idea that you can be directly paying someone. You know, you can use a centralized platform, but you could go directly to them. And one of my hopes is that the ease of paying people can help encourage more, you know, small transactions. Like if artists are creating lots of artwork, not every single piece of artwork needs to be high art that sells for, like you mentioned, like, you know, thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars. But they can be small pieces of artwork that can be purchased too. I hope this just is a general shift. You know, I've never considered this in this way before, but even purchasing like stickers, like if I'm talking about physical stickers or digital, like emoji packs and things like that. Like these are all like pretty small purchases. And I don't know that those can make up the entire income for an artist, but I'm just thinking about ways in which these smaller pieces of art and design that make our everyday lives more delightful can be something that we all think about, you know, compensating the artists for. One example I can think of as recently listening to an interview with one of the investor in the crypto space and how she purchased an NFT for the first time because she wanted a Zoom background. And she knew, there's of course like the default ones that you get in the app, but being in this space, she was like, okay, well, I know about all these great artists that are creating NFTs. Let me check out what's around here. And it turned out she really loved this one artist's artwork and ended up purchasing one of them to use as her Zoom background. That idea, like, I don't think is too foreign, but I'm hoping that making it easier for people to purchase these things and use them, and also encouraging them to like use them in different ways, will allow us to have more active, I guess, thought around compensating artists. And that will create a cultural, like you mentioned, a cultural shift. To be honest, I'm not entirely sure from a practical perspective, like what kind of system shift might create these more sustainable income streams for artists.
Yeah, I think that the thing that you just mentioned is actually kind of funny because it harks back to early like Bitcoin history when at least some folks who are in the Bitcoin community were really passionate about it because they saw this micropayments model as something that could come out of Bitcoin, which is kind of hilarious now if you consider just the cost of transactions on Bitcoin or even Ethereum. But with Solana, it is possible to make these payments that cost like a fraction of a cent. And we pay a fair number of people in crypto. And it is incredibly seamless, right? And I personally have also had the experience on both sides, like recently wanting to support a podcast creator who I really like, who doesn't have any reasonable way to set up like a payment system because she's like an immigrant in a foreign country and it's hard for her to like set up a Patreon or what have you. And there's just so much logistical difficulty around this. On the other side, I've also experienced in a past life, I guess I could say, making a line sticker pack just for fun. And I put it out there and like absolutely nobody bought it, of course, but it was just fun to go through that experience. And then I remember some of my friends saying like, oh yeah, I'll buy your line sticker pack and like try it out and use it. And they're like, buying line credit is just like too much of a pain. I'm not going to bother. And so that's like the kind of very small logistical thing where, for me, I'm like, yeah, okay, I don't need the 20 yen in revenue from your line sticker pack. But I could definitely see how that could be a bigger blocker for other people. But I realize we're digressing quite a bit. And so I thought maybe we could talk a little bit more about your creative process when it came to Orchonauts itself. Just in case anyone who's listening to this podcast isn't familiar with Orchonauts, it is an upcoming 10,000 NFT collection featuring these super adorable whales that Corey has illustrated for us. And every one of these Orchonauts will also be the key to what we're calling this exclusive Orchonautical community of folks who are essentially like Orca fans or Orca power users. They'll have access to a special Discord channel for our community to really connect there, share alpha. And Yutaro and I, the other co-founder, will pop into that channel and speak more directly with the community in there. But we're also planning for Orchonauts to evolve and be like a longer term project where we bring in other artists to create art featuring the Orchonauts and sort of expand that universe. But since it all starts with the actual Orchonauts that we're launching in a couple of weeks, Corey, could you just tell us about how you actually created the art?
Sure. It was definitely a winding path in the beginning because the project looked very different when we first talked about it. So there was a bit of exploration, aesthetically speaking and conceptually. Like, Ori, I know that you came up with the idea of focusing on a whale, which just made a lot of sense as, an orca spinoff project. So I started with drawing a lot of whales and just kind of trying to get a feel for like this character. I really do think that the whale is a bit of a character and maybe like a logo, to think about it in those terms. Because once we decided that it was going to be able to have these different accessories and traits, like it became really important that the shape of the whale and the layout of the piece could support those things in a way that would combine and still work as an image. So in that way, it's a little bit of kind of like designing a system or designing a template. Once we were happy with the way the whale looked, which was very much like a cute aesthetic, cute and playful, and we there was a lot of thinking about, oh, like what kind of collectibles like do you just see and want? And they tend to be very cute or cool looking, I would say, are the two things. And this definitely reminds me of, we've talked about Neopets and Pokemon and how they do generally have a very like cute kind of look. So that's the direction we went in. And to kind of finalize the whale, I thought about how to make sure the shape reads, you know, what kind of a whale shape looks like aesthetically pleasing, but also, you know, some of the decisions that we ended up making, like leaving a lot of space for the facial expressions and using that thicker stroke around the shapes. Those were about making sure that the image could read. There was space for those faces, also leaving space, you know, for the different accessories and all of that as well. That was, so coming out of the exploration phase, we really had to finalize that whale. Like, I was pretty, I was pretty clear that once we were like committed to the whale, we couldn't change it, because on, after that, it was about layering, you know, the different accessories on top, and we really couldn't change the foundation too much. Otherwise it would just mean redrawing everything up to that point. So moving forward from there was really a lot of drawing and kind of like thinking through the different traits and, you know, how to make them a little bit more fun and match the aesthetic that we were going for.
Listening to you talk about the process actually just made me feel so grateful that we're working with you, because you really did have this very clear process from the beginning that I think allowed the process of creating the Orchonauts to be really enjoyable from the beginning. We had a lot of back and forth, and like you mentioned, we had a lot of churn, of course, as these things go. And so I really appreciate how flexible you've been. And I have to say, I really love the end result. I think they do have that perfect balance where they're very cute in that sort of orca way, but not in this overwhelming or overly feminine cute way. I think it's a cuteness that kind of everybody can appreciate and just be, see and be like, yeah, I definitely want to get one of these or adopt one of these.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I'm really happy with the way it turned out too. I think it's definitely teamwork. Getting the feedback, getting your feedback and the team's feedback as the process went on was really important, because as the person staring at it the whole time, sometimes it can be really easy to get stuck and also just kind of get sick of staring at the same thing, to be honest. So walking away and, you know, hearing from a different perspective is really helpful.
Totally. Yeah, it's been a super, super fun design process. You mentioned some of the different traits. I know this is always like asking a parent to pick their favorite child, but do you have a favorite trait?
There is one trait that stands out to me, and that is actually the snorkel mask. It surprised me, because when I was starting to draw the snorkel mask, I was thinking to myself, like, this is going to be kind of hard to make look cute. Like, I think it's going to just look like a snorkel mask and it'll be fine. Like, let me try to figure out if there's cool colors or something that I can do to make it a little bit more fun. But then I was just thinking about, like, you know, what is a snorkel mask used for? I was just trying to figure out, like, could there be little things I can add to the mask to make it a little bit more fun? And I was just remembering times that I've gone snorkeling. I'm not a very strong swimmer. but despite that, being able to see underwater and look at the underwater world brings such a sense of wonder and just delight, you know, that I was like, oh, like, actually, you know, there are things that I can add to the snorkel mask. Like, this is such a small graphic piece, but like making the eye, the whale's eye, like very round and like as though it's trying to like take in, you know, it's like I was trying to communicate that sense of wonder when your eyes get really big and you just want to keep looking. That's where that came from. And and like the little starfish that stuck to its face, I just thought was like kind of silly and reminded me of just like playing in the water, which it's so simple. Like, again, I mentioned I'm not like great in the water, but when I'm in the water, it's like you get to just mess around, and even that kind of freedom feels really fun. So it ended up turning out, I thought, pretty cute, and having this little bit of story around it for me personally, which I didn't expect, but it created that bit of emotional connection for me.
I absolutely love that. Yeah, I guess with these projects, it would be cool to have a way for the artists to share more about, you know, their process for each trait, and like kind of these little stories, I think, are so humanizing in a way that, you know, for example, one thing that I loved is just like reading a cookbook and then reading the personal story that the chef has for each of the recipes. Usually there's like a little bit of blurb that they have, almost a little bit of like recipe lore. And I feel like sharing that for traits like the snorkel mask is a really great way for the artist to really start communicating with the audience and for the audience to appreciate it. Like, I love the snorkel mask so much more already.
I'm glad to hear that. Ori, do you have a favorite trait?
Ooh, there's so many great ones. I mean, we've talked about this already, but when I saw the bandana, I just kind of laughed because it looks just like the bandana that I have in the profile picture that I usually use on Twitter, which is based on a bandana that I actually wear pretty often in real life in the summer, which actually has a bit of a personal story for me as well, because it's actually from my days as a swing dancer, which is something I got really into in college, complete with the whole like 1920s swing retro vibe. And so at that time, I picked up this red and white dotted bandana, I think while I was actually at a swing dance camp in Sweden. And ever since then, it's been just like one of my favorite accessories. I feel like it kind of captures this super lively, super bouncy, fun, and lighthearted approach to life that is really captured in swing and that I try to carry forward into my life no matter how hard I'm working and how stressed I am. And so the fact that I could put the same little bandana on my whale, even though that was like completely unintentional from your part, was really magical for me.
Oh, that's such a lovely coincidence.
Yeah, it's cute. I know you said that it was supposed to be a Rosie the Riveter thing, which I'm also totally behind. So it all works out.
Yeah.
But in any case, I figure we've gone on for a while. We've explored a wide range of topics. So actually what I was thinking we could end with is talking a little bit about any advice that you have for other aspiring NFT artists who are interested in breaking into the space.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking as someone who really just started and entered the NFT space myself, I'd say to stay curious and try things out. Keep working on various projects. Like, entering into the NFT space should be one of the things that you're trying. It doesn't necessarily have to be your only endeavor right now. There's still time for the space to evolve, and there's going to be opportunities to enter. So yeah, take on some projects if you can, or look out for people to talk to ask questions. Those people who might encourage you or might be able to offer you some advice, like, definitely remember those people and keep chatting with them. There's a lot of people who are willing to help out. I would also say to keep in mind, there is some risk involved in getting into the space. You know, it's not entirely clear where things will go. We mentioned this earlier, but it's a new technology. It also has, you know, new financial tools involved. So I encourage artists to do some research. I do think that the space could use some more voices from artists and resources, like I mentioned before, for people. So in the meantime, you know, it's important for artists to do their due diligence and try to understand how crypto works, how NFTs work, and what the risks might be. You know, we hear these stories about NFT projects that just explode and make lots of money. And that's not every NFT project. There are also NFTs that don't sell, or they sell slowly. And that's not necessarily a reflection of the artist's work. I think as creators, we can be really hard on ourselves. And it's important to remember that these outcomes aren't just based on, you know, the value of your work. It's also so contextual. So have compassion and a little bit of patience as you're navigating this space. I am really excited to see more artists enter this space, and I'm really hoping maybe through future Orchonauts projects or other NFT projects that there are ways to create opportunity for new artists who might not have the resources or the connections right away to try things out and to enter this space. Like, I think there's a lot of opportunity to help new artists market themselves or just even get into the right communities or platforms. Like, I know for me, I didn't realize right away that a lot of the crypto community is on, you know, Discord and Twitter and Telegram. So, you know, if you're not familiar with these platforms, I could see it easy to miss out on some of what's going on.
Yeah, I love what you said about having compassion. I think especially compassion for yourself as an artist. It's really easy to be hard on yourself and judge based on external things like, is it selling or is it not? But ultimately, it's a journey. And, you know, especially in crypto, it can feel pretty harsh when things go up and down. And so actually, as I mentioned in the last episode of OrcaPod, I think self-care is such a wonderful thing to invest in when you're getting these highs and lows all the time. I personally am a big advocate of counseling, also on leaning on the other people who are around you. And so if you are an artist and you are interested in breaking into the space, I think Corey's advice is really sage. But that brings us to the end of today's episode. I guess it's the end of Corey and Ori's deep dive into Orchonauts and the creative process. So thank you so much for joining us, Corey.
Thanks for having me, Ori. It's been a pleasure.
So for all of my wonderful podmates, stay tuned for the next episode. In the meantime, you can check us out on Twitter at @orca_so or join our Discord or Telegram through the link in the show notes. It's been a splash.